Survivor specialist Alexa McKenna and her fish tank are all back to recap tonight's hour and a half long episode. About 6 minutes ago, this is not what we thought the podcast was going to look like, but Phil is very much alive, but is in the middle of a pretty major hurricane and lost power throughout the episode. So he is a little unavailable right now, but luckily McKenna was very available. Welcome back, McKenna. It's great to see you again. Yes.
So excited for everyone to see my face and not just my voice. If you are new to the Survivor Specialist, I'm over there on Patreon doing a whole bunch of stuff. So if you want to hear about the amazing race that Celestina and I are currently watching, tune in over there.
Absolutely. Yeah, McKenna is doing quite a lot of great stuff on our Patreon. So we will continue to push that throughout this episode. But we also, we just had an hour and a half episode, which I actually cannot think of the last time there was an hour and a half episode. We've had 2 hour episodes, we've had 3 hour finales, but I really, really enjoyed the timing of this. It didn't feel like we were flying through an episode, but it didn't feel like, you know, a slog of a finale by any means. It felt like a really good balance. What did you think?
Yeah, it's almost like Survivor should do hour and a half episodes.
Whoa, slow that down there. I completely agree. I completely agree. This was a good way to show a little bit of everyone. I think all but like Cassidy got a confessional.
Yeah, we got to the challenge and we're like, this blue tribe. We only got Ryan and Gio being like, we're pals.
Yes, two of the best pals. Yeah, the blue tribe, they are turning out to be similar to a previous blue tribe from season 41. Really did not get much from them. I was really amazed that we didn't even get anything from them in that back 30 minutes, like leading into the tribal council.
Yeah, because we flashed to the yellow tribe. We flashed to Baka after seeing red, and I was like, all right, so we're going to go to blue. No.
No, why would we do that? Yeah. It's just Carla running the show and Ryan and Gio are best buds. And I apparently that's all that's going on over there.
Yeah.
Which is totally fine. But we were talking right before the episode. So it's like 8:40 or it's like 8:30 and the challenge ended. So we're like, okay, this is like normal timing for a 6 minute episode. They're going into tribal council. I thought Gabler was going to quit. We got a mild implication of that at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe they'll go through tribal council and then cut to them and have two people go home this episode. But oh no, we got a really great back half.
Yeah, I thought with the Hawaiian sling, Gabler was going to like shoot himself in the foot and the leg, like some major injury. He was going to get medevaced. Like it was, I didn't realize it was an hour and a half. And I was like, why the hell are they cutting back to yellow after us being with red? Like, I don't understand what is going on here.
Yeah.
We checked the TV listing and I was like, ah, hour and a half.
Oh, you didn't realize it was going to be an hour and a half until.
No, until like we're in it. I'm like, 7 minutes. What is going on here?
Yeah, that's pretty wild. But it was good. I think it was a really, really well drawn out episode. Mm-hmm. And as soon as Cody got that beware advantage, I was like, okay. There's no way they could have done this in a standard hour episode. And they built up to it really well because we were introduced to his hat in the first 10 minutes. And it was in the Cody segment. And this was really his episode. What's your take on Cody?
Not the biggest Cody fan, but after this episode, I'm not hating him as much.
I love him.
He still is too much for me, but this episode made him a little bit better, and like we got a little bit more of his backstory, which I thought he'd connect more with the girl on his tribe that doesn't have the leg because of his friend who lost his leg as well. I thought they'd connect more, and they were just like not opposite sides of the tribe.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because we got a lot of backstories and a lot of personal content from a bunch of different players this episode. But that's a great point that, you know, on this tribe where there's only 5 votes, at a point there were only 4 votes, you would think that they would have gotten closer, Noelle and Cody. But it seemed like one of those situations where it was a battle for NECA, and yeah. it was either you're down with voting her out or you're not down with voting mm-hmm. her out. And I think it sounds like she and Cody are super tight, and they were just never going to stray there. And Justine and Noelle were super tight. And I think yeah. it's one of those things where you can't have two people being tight on a 6-person tribe.
Yeah, it's kind of a death sentence. You have to make it seem like you're tight with everybody, but also tight with no one. But also, like, it's 6-person tribes are just hard to navigate.
It's tight with everyone and tight with no one is so true, which seems to be a bit of what Jesse is doing. Mm-hmm. I think he, you know, at the beginning of this episode, he's like, I'm in a really good spot. I think the girls like me, but I'm actually really close with this group. I want Dwight to be my wife. I feel like he really leaned yep. into that quite a bit, but it was like, it was cute and endearing and it was funny. And I think Dwight liked it too. Yeah. And we'll talk about pineapple zone in a minute. Yeah. I almost just called it pineapple time. But I think Jesse did a really great job of balancing all that. Mm-hmm. And he also had that killer instinct of, well, Justine's the only person who's questioning me, so therefore she's out.
And she's a salesperson.
Honestly, her most dangerous quality.
Exactly. She's a salesperson. Gotta get her.
It's so funny because I think, like, Jesse even said, like, Cody's like, she's a salesperson. And Jesse's like, you're right. Like, how can I have forgotten that? What's your take on the salesperson thing?
I'm like, I mean, makes sense because I'm going to go deep cut with throwing in a Thailand reference. when I first was watching Thailand and they were like, yeah, Brian Heidick, used car salesman. I'm like, got to get that guy out. So like yeah. salesperson, apparently to Cody, that is also the death sentence. So like, I don't know. I mean, it's valid, but also like, he himself is a salesperson and schmoozing everybody.
Maybe he's jealous that she sells things other than elevators. Because I assume
maybe what she sells is the rivalry to elevators. She sells stairs.
She's an escalator saleswoman. And that was it. I couldn't have it. She's taking all my business in Hawaii. So yeah. It must go. I think it's really funny because out of all of the quote unquote like threatening jobs, mm-hmm. you would have thought that she is a therapist, cop, lawyer all at the same time. Yeah. But Ellie is like publicly a therapist. And I mm-hmm. feel like that's something that people always try to hide. I didn't realize that I forgot last episode that she had like said that to the tribe. I think it's kind of cool that she said that. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
No one's like, oh, she's trying to manipulate us. So good on her for laying
They're
that
all
down.
Actually thankful that she's a therapist. Owen was very like, okay, thank you for being a therapist and like reminding me not to stress
about
whatever he was doing and getting frustrated about.
Which I bet Ellie loves and hates. I feel like I'm making an assumption. If you're a therapist, all your friends must like ask you, like,
what does this
be a therapist outside of work, which I'm sure you don't feel like doing. But on Survivor, really good quality to have. Let's jump over to the Baka, the Yellow Tribe, just for a second, because they're kind of like the second most populous tribe. Where do you stand on them? Give me a little bit from the premiere too, because we didn't get to hear from you too much.
So I like them okay. I liked Ellie. I thought she was great. I thought this scene in this episode with these are my two children. Sammy is like the older one. I don't need to do anything. And Owen is the one I need to like help guide along. He's the younger one. And I thought that was hilarious. I think Sammy needs to get out of here real fast. I'm not a big Sammy fan. I think I have to agree on like the 22 is okay. But like, again, if they're going age-based, like 22 is one of the younger people, if not the youngest in the cast.
Yeah, I should know this, but he might still be the youngest at age 22. That's a really good point. But so I think 22 is just more like easier to swallow than like a teenager.
Yes.
I so actually kind of like Sammy. I feel like people are hating on him. He's a lot, but I was watching this episode with my brother and he was like, he really looks like Patrick Mahomes. And it immediately cut to him being like, do you guys know who Patrick Mahomes is? He seems, he seems like he doesn't take himself too seriously. Yeah. And I kind of like that. I think it's funny that he's like they're not broing down the three of them, but they're like a really interesting trio. And I love how he was like, guys, we'll just do this together. And you can see Owen and Gabler just being like, I don't know about that.
Yeah. William just commented, I wonder if the guys are talking strategy and we're just like,
oh, that was such a good
there.
Yeah. What did Janine had a lot of great, she was very present in this episode. And mm-hmm. she said something great to Ellie. She said, I'm confused by what game the boys are playing.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Like a dead serious comment.
And then they're just like, man, our feet are gross, right?
Oh, God. And they showed them, too. That was so unnecessary. But yeah, I guess very necessary. yeah,
we had a big storm.
We had a huge storm.
Phil is very aware of
it. Phil is in it. But over in Fiji 6 months ago, they also had a really big storm. Yeah, and that's what you get with these, like, I think the odd number seasons. They're always during storm season.
Yeah, I don't know if it switched with the COVID break or whatever. I can't remember what was what before that. But, yeah, one Survivor season is always the rainy season, and that's the one I would never want to be on.
Yeah, that's the one you try to avoid.
Yeah.
But I feel like we got a lot of really good camp life. I'm going to gas up this 90-minute episode forever because I'm so happy mm-hmm. with all the we got strategy, we got backstories, and we got camp life.
Yes.
But, you know, seeing that storm, obviously, you know, it's a quick overnight. We got a little bit of how it's affecting them. We got, as I mentioned earlier, Gabler just like struggling a little bit with it, which is obviously super common. But I think, you know, he talked about how he's the mm-hmm. oldest person on the cast. His tribe is very young.
He's also breaking down a little bit, like his energy yeah. and like,
because they're not eating. It's brutal. So I'm curious to see if where that's going to take him. Do you see this kind
of thing? He's safe at his next tribal council because they went through his bag. yeah. I wonder if they'll find almond trees on their island like Blue, like Coco did.
43 seasons. And I think this is the first time we've seen an almond tree.
Has Survivor started like planting trees and stuff? Because like,
here's a lemon
tree. I feel like they have to if people are like, cutting all this stuff down and taking leaves off. I don't know.
It looked like a big, like a long, had been there for a period of time kind of tree, you know, like, I mean, like they put the sad little almond tree, like the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. It's like one little almond on it. Yeah. And that, like, I think that was a really cool moment too, that Gia was like, oh, this is an almond tree. I know how to do this. Maybe mm-hmm. that could be something people didn't know what to do with it before, or maybe just yeah. there was something there. But just man, that's a rock. lot of work for one almond, I'm not gonna lie. Gio told his entire story while going to town on that one almond.
I mean, coconuts are also a struggle just to get that little bit of meat or that little bit of juice.
Exactly. Yeah. And we got a really cool moment with Gio and mm-hmm. Gio and Ryan, and I think they sort of balanced them really well together too, because we heard about Ryan's backstory in the first episode. And then in this episode, Gio tells his story. And then you hear Ryan's perspective in sort of like in his way, he's like, Gio's my, like, we're bros. I just heard about his story. It felt like a really cool way for like Ryan to be talking to us about something that we both just learned.
Yeah. It was really interesting hearing Gio's backstory because like it felt very sincere yeah. when then we flashed to Ellie's backstory of her conquering this jigsaw puzzle. Like it's a jigsaw puzzle of the logo. Like I'm also someone who has ADHD and a little bit of dyslexia. So like it's a jigsaw puzzle. It felt just that backstory felt very forced onto us, where like Geo's flowed very naturally with like telling the story of like him in his home with, you know, the almond tree and Peru. Like I found these all the time at home, and then goes right into his family.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought that up, because I think you're completely right. And Geo's, yeah, it tied to the tree. It tied to how him and Ryan are getting close. And then with Cody's backstory, his was also, you know, was heavy
tied and personal. Tribe.
Yeah. That was then tied to how he could have a relationship with Noelle. Even Dwight, like I thought Dwight's was very well done, because it was like, look, I can meet with all these different types of world leaders. And he pretty much goes, I can talk to Mitch McConnell and Hillary Clinton, but I can't talk to Cody. And that was unbelievably funny. I don't think it was like meant to be very funny, but I really liked that. And I completely agree with you. I think Ellie's story is one that a lot of people can relate to. I just wish they had put it in a different episode, because
not the puzzle. Like that puzzle was, it fits piece by piece by piece by piece. It's not something like where, you know, one of those like trickier slide puzzles, or like the fire puzzle, the dragon, like any of those are very much like cerebral kind of complicated puzzles. And this one is just a jigsaw.
Yeah.
I know it's standing up, but it's just a jigsaw.
I haven't been on Twitter or Reddit, but I do hope that people like give her that grace, because she didn't say, you know, it wasn't her decision to put this in this episode.
No,
it just felt like one of these things is not like the others.
Yeah.
And that's in no way, shape, or form to downplay her story, because as I mentioned, I think it's extremely relatable to a lot of people. I wish Survivor had just put it somewhere else, because it felt like it didn't fit the way that the others did. But Ellie's running the show right now.
Ellie, 100%.
She's killing it.
I'm here for Ellie. I'm just not here for the integration of that confessional.
Yeah, she's in a really good position. I was saying in the predictions that I feel like she could convince Gabler not to use his idol, as she's now knows that he actually can use it. And it seems like you just said, she's got the two younger brothers. She's running this tribe, and it doesn't really seem like people know or care, which is great for her.
Yeah. Her and Janine are just like a duo, and they're an obvious duo. Mm-hmm. And there's three guys, but they're not going to go for Ellie, which is saying something too, that she's more in. And I feel like they'd vote out Gabler then after Janine before Ellie once again.
Yeah. And I think Janine's proving herself in the puzzles really well. Janine, and for somebody who looks like she weighs 9 pounds, this was a challenge that is really going to separate the people who can handle that versus not. And I think Janine did really well. Obviously, with the snake thing, like you can only do so much with that snake. Only so many people can do that.
This one felt very different, because I don't think in any other seasons we've seen them try and just dangle from it and fail at pulling it down. Even though it was the same puzzle that we have, or the same challenge that we've seen a bunch of times before, but it just was so much more comedic this time around when they were trying to dangle from the snake. One team had two of them trying to hang, and it's like, guys, it's not working. Pull the snake over.
I'm not going to lie. I would 100% be like, I'll just sit here and let my like mild body weight try to pull this 400-pound snake down. Yeah. When was the last time we saw this challenge? I feel like you would know this.
Winners at War?
That feels right. Wow, it feels like it's been so much longer than that, but that's really not very – that's pretty recent.
I want to say –
I love this challenge. It still has, you know, it's got the puzzle, but I love how physical it is for how long of a time that you have to swim, you have to climb, you have to, I can't believe it's 400 pounds. That, I thought Jeff said 100. Yeah. 400 pounds is ridiculous. 400 pounds of dead weight, pretty much.
Yeah.
And it was sillier than usual.
Yeah, it was like a different looking snake, 100%.
Yeah, definitely. I'm curious if they made it more difficult than previously, but I thought
everyone's pants stayed on.
Everyone's pants stayed on, thank goodness. Yes. I don't know where James was barely in this episode. He might be one of the few people who didn't get a concussion.
I don't think he was in this episode.
Yeah. There was a brief reference to him that he's a part of the gals club, but otherwise that's really all we got from him. But luckily his pants stayed on, or he just didn't even wear them, which was probably smarter.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, I thought, where did you stand? Like, so once they lost, this felt like, you know, last week they voted Mariah out because quote unquote, she wasn't strong for the tribe. Now we had a situation where somebody very clearly did not perform. Did you think they made the right decision getting rid of Justine?
Yes and no. Like, for their alliance, I'd say yes, but maybe for the next challenge, no, but you never know. So if they lose again and they don't get rid of NECA because they can pull in Dwight, like if Cody just tries to work on Dwight, then I feel like they're still good. I think if they don't get rid of NECA the next time, like, all right, come on, guys. Like, you know why you're losing, and it's NECA.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it depends on the kind of challenge because, okay, we saw it in season 38 as well. Okay, so all these feel like 100 years ago, but I guess they're really not.
COVID just hit us.
Okay. Yeah, seriously. But because in the first challenges, like in the premiere, NECA like was completely fine. She was good in the challenges. So I think you're right. If this was like a one-off thing, but you make a good point. NECA is super tight with Cody and Jesse. And we saw that actually proven tonight. Mm-hmm. It's Dwight who seems to be more of the wild card. I love that his name never even remotely came up. Losing a vote is probably better than having an immunity idol at this point. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to vote for you if you don't have a vote. But it seemed like Dwight is the one who, I'm not saying he wasn't trustworthy, but they were nervous about, like, Jesse pitched something to him and he was like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, even if Jesse didn't have his vote, they were still good on Justine because Dwight was just like, yeah, Cody's going. And it's like, no, who said Cody to you ever?
Yeah, that. So I'm glad you brought that up. Why did Justine vote for Cody?
Oh, Justine voted for Cody?
Yeah, because Dwight couldn't vote. So,
oh, duh.
Noelle voted for NECA. NECA, Jesse, and Cody voted for Justine. But Justine then voted for Cody.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe Dwight had... maybe this could be something. Dwight may have tipped her off about what happened with Cody's vote. No, but he didn't know that.
No.
I'm not sure.
I feel maybe
Dwight had influenced
that. Their vote is just dumb.
Yes, well, I'm trying to think of why they would have split their vote. Maybe because they thought there would be an idol, but Dwight tried to get an idol. I'm not sure. So yeah, I thought that was really interesting, and we're seeing some kind of cool gameplay because Justine goes straight up to Jesse and says she doesn't trust him, which is not great. But Dwight was in a really interesting position where he wasn't agreeing with the plan to get rid of Justine, not that it mattered because he didn't have a vote, but he didn't blow them up either. He very easily could have gone over to Justine and Noelle and said, hey, here's what's happening. And he didn't. So it sounds like he wanted to, because it sounds like he was closer to the two of them, but I think he made the right call by knowing which way the tide was going and flowing with it.
Yeah. And especially if you don't have a vote to say something with, it's hard to like want to stir up something that you're not involved with. Like, why stir the pot when you're not involved and you still have good ties with people? If he was like, all right, listen, you're going home from these are your votes against you, I think it would have either blown back on him, or now he has no allies on the tribe and he's next.
Yeah. I think he played this really well. Mm-hmm. And again, for somebody who easily could have been the target, His name never came up. He actually did a pretty good job of like kind of, you know, saying who he wasn't close with, but didn't put a target on his back. He balanced that really well. So I know he had a kind of shaky first episode. Mm-hmm. I really like how he handled tonight's episode.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So coming off of this, what do you think, where do you think the Red Tribe is going to fall? And where do you think the Yellow Tribe is going to fall throughout all this too? Eric here makes a good point. It was probably protection from shot in the dark.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Makes sense. I feel like some of the people who are getting more screen time might be going like slightly earlier. Like if we're keep talking about Sammy and Owen, like one of them I feel like has to go out pre-merge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Red is probably going to lose at least one more, whether that be the next one or one in the future. I want Blue to go to a tribal pre-merge so they could like test waters, see where alliances are, and not have the dominating like all Blue to the merge.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. I put Justine at 7 in my power rankings. So like,
I think I did the similar 9. I did 9.
I'm not good at predictions. I will probably be like, oh god.
And also with this, like when you're predicting like 17 people, like how
it was horrible.
Yeah, no one. This is always the hardest one to do.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm excited to just watch this season. I feel like I was telling some people this feels like the most average group of people you could ever find. You just like point at people in the grocery store and like that's this cast.
You walk into one grocery store and cast everybody in there. And this is
exactly.
I like that. And I think, yeah, we didn't talk about Owen too much, but Phil's not even here and I didn't even roast him. Phil's winner pick got voted out. But I want everyone, all 62 of you currently watching and whatever thousand, millions of people who watch this later.
Yes,
I'm not making fun of Phil. Phil always roasts me when I get something wrong. And when he gets something wrong, I try not to talk about it too much. So
one of my other friends picked Justine first in our draft and then got Mariah at the end.
Excellent.
He picked first. Yeah, yeah.
I love that. So. Owen is the one person who we really haven't mentioned yet. He, I think, had a really good bounce back. And bounce back in the sense that he didn't even really
people want to still work with him.
People want to still work with him. I think like him apologizing like at the top of the episode, he probably didn't even need to do that. But he was really good and self-awareness is key here. He was like, I came in a little hot. I'm going to cool down a little bit. And I'm going to give it a sec. It felt very Mike White, and Mike White ended up almost winning the season. So I think Owen did a really great job. And yeah, I'm trying to think of who else or what else. Lots of props tonight. So those of you who did the prop bets. So Owen blurred his mouth. Cody's butt was blurred, but also his mouth was blurred. the Cody sequence of him like naked over the volcano and they're just blurring his butt, I thought was, I know you said you're not as big a fan. I thought it was unbelievably funny. Survivor is like really leaning into him. I can't like they named the first episode after his butt tattoo. Like that is bananas.
I think he is a perfect cast for the show. Absolutely. He is just, you know, out here living everything to the fullest. And is like, I'm here, I'm playing Survivor, let's go. But he's also that character. And I just think he is whether he flames out or lasts long in the game, I just think he is great for the show. Whether you love him, hate him, whatever.
I think he's fantastic. I'm trying to find what the title of this episode was because I want to know who did the episode title and I can't find it immediately. But Jesse, Cody, and Owen all had their mouths blurred. The Yellow Tribe and the Blue Tribe both got rewards. No one's gotten to 5 rewards yet, but just adding that to the ticker. Noelle and Carla both sat out, so we're adding them to the list of people who sat out. Justine had an episode, or she had a confessional in every episode she was in. She also went home with less than 5 votes.
Ellie Alex said Owen said the title.
Owen said the title. Okay, great. Thank you. Owen had the episode title. Ellie almost cried. I'm not going to count her as crying because we didn't see a tear. So if you had Ellie crying, tonight was not your episode yet. I feel like Cody had 10 confessionals again, like very easily.
Probably.
But last thing that we didn't really cover, what did you like the beads? I love the beads.
I thought that was great. I thought it was so much better than sticking your hand in some paint or saying some words or, you know, I thought having pre-planting a bunch of these beads on everyone's bags and then saying, you got to get them. I thought that was just a really good twist on the Beware Advantage that you had to get everyone's beads in the tribe.
Yeah. It felt like a lighter version of Tony getting extorted because you had to do a little, like small things that this is like less significant because you're not taking fire tokens for people. Something pretty insignificant, but in a very short period of time. He probably only had like an hour or two to do that.
Yeah. And Cody, Noelle was like, this is my bracelet. Like I'm using this. Like it would be hard for me to give up something like, you know, that Survivor has given me because this is my things. It's Survivor. Like I need everything as a keepsake.
Yeah.
But if I wouldn't have done it at first, but if like literally everyone in the tribe is, then I'm like, all right, fine. Here's my
Yeah. You don't want to be like that person. But yeah. Noelle, she was like, but they're so pretty. It was really, really well done. I had a feeling that he was going to get them because he was like pretty confident at tribal council. Someone here in the chat makes a great point. So he has an idol now. Is his hat the idol?
Whoa. I mean, technically it's just the beads, but if they're woven in a ring on the hat, then like, because they gave him the whole strand and not just the bead that he needed. So it's bigger than just a bracelet.
Yeah, it's like a very long necklace now.
Hat decoration.
I deeply hope he plays his hat as an idol. That would be unbelievable.
Well, he won't be weaving Justine a hat.
No, that's a really good point. That was quite uncomfortable because then it was like a good back and forth. And then just seems like Cody's the only person I haven't talked strategy with.
Yeah.
A tough dichotomy there. Cody was the perfect person to get this though, because he's the, you know, the surfer guy from Hawaii. It fits perfectly with him. And also it helped that he had two people, well, mostly NECA, because NECA's neck was on the line.
NECA was on the line.
There it is. Nailed it. Shut down the podcast, everybody. he had two people who were like all in on this. And I think the way that they did it, instead of going individually to people, like making it a group thing was really smart because no one wanted to be the one person to not give up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. I kind of missed the preview. What's going on next episode?
I also did because I was like, I have to podcast in 5 minutes.
I'm so sorry. I have no idea what's going on. I was texting you too. All right. We don't have too much to cover there. I guess going into the next episode, who do you think is super safe and who do you think is really not safe? Give me like 3 and 3.
I think Lindsay, James, and Gio might be super safe. Unless like I worry for Carla because she is the swing vote and she could get like Sarah Lucina'd where they just like just get rid of the swing.
Yeah.
And then I think Ellie, Gabler, obviously, and probably Owen are the safest.
Yeah,
I can see that. Yellow. And then the three that are in the current alliance, I think they'd probably take out another person before they take out NECA.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have the buffer. Even though they shouldn't, I think that three of Jesse, Cody, and NECA are safest.
Yeah, I think NECA's rock solid. I think she's probably in it for the long run after mm-hmm. this. I feel like the two people who got votes, like Owen last week and NECA this week, I think the thing with a short season and with a six-person tribe is it's you survive one, and unless you're horrifically annoying or really, really problematic, like the people will move on. Yeah. So I feel like that's something that we're sort of seeing in New Survivor. Like mm-hmm. not since like Karishma have you just not, like Karishma just got piled on like every yeah. single episode. You don't really see that as much in these newer seasons.
They might catch like one to two, but like nothing like crazy pile on. It might just get the stray or whatever. But yeah. I'm really excited for this season. I think it'll be a good one, not a slog. We're already getting like no Jeff interactions of like staring at the camera. This is what this is. I'm actually going through a series rewatch again. So I had just finished Borneo, and it really was very similar to 41 of Jeff being like, this is what tribal council is. And it's like, yeah. this is what this advantage is. So it's like, it was very drop the four, keep the one.
Literally only keep the one. my favorite thing about rewatching Borneo is the chest of money and the talking show. Mm-hmm. Like, yep. I wish both stayed.
And then hitting the gong before every tribal council.
Right.
Walking in. Yeah.
That didn't last long at all.
That season. That's it.
That didn't even make it to season two. You're so right. Wow. Well, McKenna, thank you so much for joining. And I'm really sorry you lost the preview to responding to my manic text messages. Can you tell everyone how present you are and what you're doing, even though we haven't visually seen much of you?
Yes. So over on the Patreon, please become a patron. Any patron tier level, you can join our Discord where we talk live during the episode. There's a Big Brother channel, which, you know,
I don't know who approves that, but we don't allow it.
We have an amazing race channel where, you know, Celestina and I let everyone know when our episodes are dropping for us recapping the amazing race. And, you know, we just talk all things Specialists and Survivor over there, and the movie buffs. John chimes in over there. So please become a patron, join the Discord, and talk to a bunch of new people and friends. And then, yeah, like I said, I'm doing Amazing Race, and Phil will be doing his after show, but it'll be posted a little bit later. I think he said tomorrow or Friday or something tomorrow. Like that. So please still submit questions for the after show and become a $20 patron so you can listen to the after show.
There you go. Yes, that was a great time to be a patron. Patreon.com/Survivor Specialist. The Discord is pretty much a better version of the Facebook group because no one really uses Facebook anymore. Mm-hmm. Everyone uses Discord. So make sure to hop over into that. Phil and I are going to be recording our retrospective podcast allegedly tomorrow morning. That may change, but depending on what's going on the electric grid near his home. But mm-hmm. For those who are $10 and $20 patrons, you can expect that. Also $5 patrons, because there weren't any Q&A questions submitted this month. So $5 patrons and up will get access to that. Phil and I are going to be doing our episode 3 predictions and power rankings at some point this weekend, probably Monday or Tuesday. We haven't quite figured out the time yet. But the biggest thank you in the world to McKenna, who had 6 minutes to prepare with no notes and was an amazing conversationalist the entire time. So shout out to you, McKenna.
I've been talking a lot recently with the Patreon.
Luckily, you've been involved enough that this isn't like super shocking.
It's not my first rodeo.
Yes, Phil saw part of the episode. He saw like a third of it. So the way he was texting me every 15 minutes saying that the channel kept cutting out and then lost the entire 20 minutes. He was like, what happened with Cody's Beware advantage? And I was like, you can't podcast. And I like, you missed a major section of this episode. But you'll hear from some form of us tomorrow, Friday, this weekend. Again, McKenna, thank you so much for popping on. And I hope everyone has a great rest of their evening. Stay safe and have a good night. Bye. I forgot I have to hit the end broadcast button.